America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstteeclinic.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and Alec Medford. Now, I know what Jerry said in the post game yesterday.
He was like,
hey, why not make a big trade? We could definitely upgrade this team.
Why not us?
Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to actually go in the exact opposite direction. Dallas is defeated. Dak gets hurt. Maybe CD2. We can all read lips, so it's time to lean all the way into this crappy season, right?
What do you mean? What do you mean by lean all the way in? And who are we?
Let's not try to upgrade.
Yeah, what are we, Jamarcus Russell with the lean?
Let's not try to upgrade the team tomorrow. In fact, let's try to help other people upgrade their teams.
We'll be all in.
Wherever possible. You weren't all in before. Yes. You know what? Actually, that is what I'm asking. Jerry, I'm asking for you to be the same level of all in tomorrow as you were in the offseason. But please be the same level of all in tomorrow as you were in the offseason.
So that means that he would be trading away just spare parts on
exactly.
the team and getting nothing in return?
That's a good point.
Signed.
Hey. Some like fifth or sixth rounders.
Except for Eric Kendricks.
Because I actually don't think you're going to obviously get a whole wealth of draft picks or anything like that. But I think he's looking at this all the wrong way. If Dak is hurt, that's fine. Like, let him recover for however long it's necessary. Maybe it's four or five games.
Or six.
Yeah. Maybe CD needs to take some time off because they're actually injured. Obviously, we're worried about DeMarcus Lawrence. Bland and Micah haven't come back by now like we probably thought. Just let it play out.
Zeke's legs are all saved up.
Lean into the fact that you're not good. Mm-hmm. You can handle it for one season. Keep moving that first round draft pick up, up, up. Don't be scared of 5-12 or 6-11.
Are you not good, though, because of the talent? Or are you not good because of the coaching? Because that's what's next, right?
Yes.
At the end of the season... No matter what, the coach, I mean, you can't look as disorganized as you did yesterday.
Well, I understand.
You can't look as undisciplined as you did yesterday and people go, I don't think it's coaching.
So
leadership.
And that's the thing. I understand that Mike McCarthy needs to keep fighting because he wants to keep his job. That's a great idea.
Whatever job he gets in the future.
Exactly. I've just resigned where he can pretend that he was into analytics all along and some chump will go ahead and buy it and be like, wow.
Good point.
I think you look at some of these things, and I know Steven is going to say to a certain extent, oh, you know, we're working on eliminating those mistakes. We just got to execute better. But you're at the point, right, where you're like, those pre-snap penalties aren't going away.
Right.
You're not good at it. Even Brad Sham was like, if they have laces on their shoes on the street, the Cowboys players would probably trip over themselves. He said that.
There was a moment late in the game yesterday where Babe tried to convince Brad that there was still a shot with about 5 minutes left in the game, and Brad was just like, I'm just not as optimistic as you are.
and I think that's where I'm at. And you can look, if you want to sell it that you could make a couple of trades tomorrow or today or tomorrow, and then you get CDs good to go and Micah and Bland and Dak is miraculously okay. And all that stuff falls into place. First of all, I don't think that's going to happen. But second of all, and then what? You're going to get better separation from your wide receivers. You're going to get better play from your offensive linemen. You're going to get better pocket awareness from your quarterback. You can get better tackling from your defenders. I don't think so.
Yeah, if you're Jerry or whoever's making those decisions, you really have to know what the route is. Like to make the moves that are going to be necessary to give you that shot in the arm that'll turn it around for the rest of the season, and you're going to win every game from there. The pre-snap penalties, Kevin, that's been plaguing them since the beginning of the year.
We were
pointing at all these other things. We're like, the red zone, we're just bad there. Man, how many times you get booted out of the red zone because you're not doing good before. And then, on top of all that, you have two all-pros, Pro Bowl guards that just don't look like they've played football before. And you're like, what happened to you guys? Why are y'all the ones making these mistakes right now? So, yeah, man, all the things are bad. If you're going to just lean into all the things are bad, your suggestion is all the trades. Make some big, drastic changes.
Yeah. Oh, look, or if you don't want to make big, drastic changes, you can make some incremental changes that I think could help you pick up 4th, 5th, 6th round draft picks. And if you're sitting here going, I don't care about that, that's not going to turn the team around, that goes against the team message. The team message is we're the best at drafting and giving people second contracts. Now, I've talked about this many times. I think they falsify those numbers by giving out contracts that aren't always owned. But then why not lean into that and be like, okay, then that's what we're going to do.
I have this question for you, Cowboy fans. You're saying all of these things, and this is what we're supposed to do on Sports Talk Radio. Why do you think over the last 20 years this has never been done? They've had 8-8 years. They've had down years where they don't. I understand we can do this with the Mavericks. We can do this with the we can do this with the Rangers, and we can do this with the Stars. Stars, I'm not as educated on, because they will make different moves. That's and true. Different things. You're saying all these things, but this is where I'm like, who? I'm not dogging you.
I get
what
it.
I'm saying is like, who cares what you say?
It's not going to happen.
Because Jerry's right now having a party, like doing something, and you know, talking to Papa John. Like I don't. They're not actively working to change this organization.
And I think, I don't know why, Mike, you're right. It makes me feel a little bit better to at least say, hey, we're out on record, or I'm out on record as saying this is the way to go. You're right. Do I think that's going to happen? Absolutely not. Do I think that they're going to make a bunch of incremental trades away to go ahead and absorb the cap hit, but maybe pick up 4th, 5th, or 6th round draft picks? No. Do I think, because I see people texting it in, that Micah is going to get traded? Hell no. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm just saying that is the clear path.
I'm with you.
To get better.
I think, you know what?
Or try to get better.
I'm with you on it.
I think Mike's onto something here. The Cowboys can't be great every year, all right? Like, they can't be, you know, 12-5 every year. It's just not easy to keep up that kind of consistency. So this is going to be one of the down years. And then next year, you can make the Cowboys great again.
Okay. First of all, man, I don't know if we should use that exact slogan in these next couple of days. Let's just wait and see what happens.
They were great before.
I would dispute that, but, you know.
When they won Super Bowls.
Okay, that is true. But then that goes into exactly what I'm saying. Embrace it this one year. You can do that in the next 48 hours. Like when Jerry says, I think we have an opportunity to upgrade our team. No, no, no. You have an ability to downgrade your team in order to upgrade your team for 2025 and beyond.
Corey, I've been told by Brian Broaddus, who's been in the room, that Jerry listens. Now, here's my question. Do you think anybody's man enough in that room, or are they all scared to death of daddy and owner, general manager, president Jerry Jones? Do you think anybody in that room is man enough to say, Jerry, our team sucks and we need, well, I don't think he gets to go in that meeting.
But he would say it.
Yeah. But I don't think anybody's man enough to do it because they're afraid of losing their job if they tell daddy or if they tell general manager that he's not doing a good job. This team isn't good, and we need drastic changes. And it probably won't mean we're great in 25. It would mean that we get better in 26 and 27.
Well, I mean, there's a few things there. One, a lot of the decisions that have been made that created what this is right now were made by those people. So if they admit that they're wrong, then can that person trust them anymore?
I know you have more. Can we stop on that point for just a second? Because I think that's a great point. Is because I think Corey really is spot on. How many people in that room would have to argue against something that they argued for to begin with? So I don't think it's all just people that are afraid of Jerry. I think it's people having to stand up and be like, hey, I'm Bill, and I said go get this player in the second round, and that was clearly wrong. That's a knock on me, but we can still change it. I think people are always afraid of like losing their spot or whatever, that they don't want to step out, to Corey's point, and say, I was wrong about that.
And the other thing too, Mike, is this is going to, the word I'm going to use here is going to sound political, but it's not. I promise. The Cowboys have had a very conservative approach in this whole thing.
Right.
Like, they've spent where they felt they should spend. They've had a plan in place that they were like, all right, this is our plan. And along those the way, they've been kind of plotting as they've gone. They made two really good, smart moves. Nothing bold. Whenever they made the move for Stephon Gilmore and Brandon Cooks, that's not extremely bold,
but smart.
But it was smart because it gave you what you needed in a second receiver, and it gave you a cornerback that turned out to be pretty damn good for you. And then you got Bland. You learned you had Bland because Trayvon Diggs got hurt.
Yep.
But they've been very conservative in the way that they've built this all along. That's where the okay. When's it time to be bold? When is it time to make something, to strike something big, because the whole thing needs a shakeup? That's the decision that I don't know anybody in that. I don't know that anybody in that room is willing to make right now.
Look, I know a lot of people don't like this. If you have decided like the Saints did that your head coach just ain't doing the job. He's not doing the job now. He's not going to be doing the job. So let's go ahead and move on. I don't know what the, I mean, look, we've heard from a lot of people on the inside, but they don't always agree with their viewpoints of what the organization thinks about Mike McCarthy. And I know when we have Steven on, when we have Jerry on tomorrow, they're going to say the right things about Mike McCarthy. But that's another example. If you've seen it, take a look at something else right now. Because me personally, I don't think this season is going to go where you want it to go. All right? Like,
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Short of a drastic move, which I don't think that the Cowboys are going to do. I also don't think they should make a drastically like aggressive move to bring in more talent.
Upcoming first
exactly.
round pick.
I do not believe that they should do that. So if people dump on them tomorrow or Wednesday for not making the move, I just want it known for the record. I do not think they should make an aggressive trade in.
Okay.
Where they like bring people in and send draft picks out. But if you've decided that Mike McCarthy's not the thing, I don't think it's the end of the world to move on in the middle of the season and maybe try out a couple of other things. But you might also be sitting there and be like, try what? Schottenheimer? What is he designing for us that can help us?
I saw Bobby post that, and that was the one on all of his things that he said, shall we do this, on the voting on his Twitter.
Yeah.
That was the one that I was like, what's this about? Because it feels like the play caller is just going to be the same. Yeah, it's the same mindset, same approach. It's the only person. It's just a different voice.
The only difference would be, and I don't necessarily think this is the case, if there's been like building tension between Schottenheimer and Mike McCarthy, when Schottenheimer's like, I have all these other things I want to do. I want to use motion here. I think we can create more separation there. Well, then hell yeah. But in the meantime, the Raiders are displeased with what they're doing. What do? Fire their offensive coordinator. The Saints are displeased with where they're going. What do? They fired their head coach. Both of those teams, I think, are only a game and a half worse than the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry said yesterday, we can tweak this up, and I expect to be busy in the next 48 hours. Just remember, not this past Tuesday, but the Tuesday before that, he flat out said to Sean and RJ he did not anticipate any trades, moves, or changes.
But
then you had to sell harder. Now, I know
what happened Friday, Kevin.
I know. That is true.
Do the laugh. Do the laugh.
He goes, Corey asked the great question, could you make a trade tomorrow that would take a lot of the attention off the presidential election? And he goes, yes. And so just the deadpan way he said yes. I don't want it to happen. I think this season is where it is. I think what Dak probably mouthed on the sideline is about right about now. And you should lean into it. Don't fight it. You're not going to go away because you don't make the playoffs this year. The Cowboys are not going to go into next year going, who? The cow what?
Yeah.
Everyone is going to know about the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Everybody is going to know about the Cowboys. You can take a step back
for the
rest of the year.
If you make some significant moves that look like it's going to take you in a different direction too, everybody's going to believe in the Cowboys. You know, they'll buy into that part of it. I think the first place that I need to look, Kevin, if I'm starting to make those kinds of changes is that idea of culture and discipline. And players that are willing to commit to that.
Yeah.
But again, if there's not somebody that's makes it a little tense around the star, it makes it. That's why I asked Jerry, what more can you do? And then he, you know, gave them a speech. In which, hey, look, man, he's trying to pull out some stops. He went and gave him a speech after the game. Guys, look, I've seen people get kicked in the D and come back before. And you guys can too. Instead of the other part where it's time for tough love. You know, I feel like tough love is necessary at this moment.
Just real quick, Mike, to your point, though, I don't think you said it in a mean way at all. I think overwhelmingly likely you get the G-bag tomorrow and you see that nothing happened.
Yeah.
Or you see that the Cowboys made a couple of incremental fifth or conditional sixth round moves that they think could make a difference. I don't believe this is what's going to happen at all.
I don't want it to come across as I was taking a shot at you or Corey or anybody up here at the station. Look, I do this with the Mavericks and the Rangers. I used to do it with the Cowboys, but I grew tired of it because I'm like, he's just pretending to be a general manager. Yeah. He's not really a general manager. And then it's the same script every year. It's just a matter of, do they go 12-5 and lose in the first round, or do they end up going 8-8 and just missing the playoffs? This looks closer to an 8-8 year. It might not even be that good, but this looks like closer to that script. And don't worry, Jerry will sell you and the place will be sold out, and he'll get Sunday night and Monday night football games out the wazoo next year.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, more Cowboys plus the most notable games, plays, and results of the NFL weekend. Next on The Fan.
At the 6, handoff Algier coming to the right side. Plowing to the 2, to the 1, to the goal line. Touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more Cowboys here, but I also want to know maybe your standout either games, plays, or results of the NFL weekend. For the Cowboys, Do you guys care, or do you look at the standings at this point? Because you've seen, now Philadelphia probably should have lost, but as Mike has talked about many times this year, his boy Sunshine just doesn't have it. And they gave that game back to Philadelphia. So Philadelphia wins, Washington wins. You continue to see that gap in just the division get bigger and bigger. Now, I realize they've only played one divisional game so far, but do you already look at the standings and you're like, ooh, that math doesn't look super good?
Yeah, the way that the Commanders are taking off feels, you know, like that's a two-horse race in this division, and that stinks to feel that way, but they found something, and everybody now is, you see the story, the headline about, oh, now everybody's asking to be traded to Dan Quinn's Commanders.
Yes, I did.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, here it goes. But like, that's just, it, you see the, in this division, for whatever reason, there will be one team that kind of sticks around, and then once it falls off, another team replaces it, and then there's a second team that was already there.
If you're an optimistic Cowboy fan, you have to go, we can only lose two more games the rest of the year, and you have to win all four games against Washington and Philadelphia.
Yeah,
I could see
so
that.
So if you put two losses on each of those teams, get them to four losses.
And all of a sudden you've eliminated most of the gap.
They have to play each other one more time, Philadelphia and Washington. So that's one more loss on one of those teams. You just start looking at go at 10-7 and you win every divisional game. You're 6-0, so you have all the tiebreakers. If you're very optimistic as a Cowboys fan, that's your hope, is that they fall off and you give each of those teams two losses and you hold all tiebreakers.
I mean, that is true. I guess I'm not optimistic Cowboys fan at this moment because I just don't see any way that can happen. Let's go to cut number 19, if you will, because I do have a question about this quarterback and this team starting to heat up.
Pressure from Crosby as if on cue. Burrow gets away, throws to the end zone, and a diving catch at the back of the end zone for Mike Gesicki.
Now, we've moved into November and December, which is Joe Burrow time. So since 2021, November and later, completion percentage, who's first? Joe Burrow. Yards per attempt, who's first? Joe Burrow. Rating, who's first? Joe Burrow. This is a team that obviously we've talked about numerous times has had a dreadful start to the season. Do you believe, and I know they just got smoked by the Eagles before this,
but
do you, yeah, I think that's where I'm at. But do you look at the Bengals at 4-5 and you're like, you know what? Maybe they're not out of this as I previously thought.
So Chase Brown pops up as their lead running back. He's their bell cow now. Zach Moss was not it, dude.
Fair.
Higgins was out. It was the Raiders. Like, let's take that into consideration. It definitely was the Raiders.
Fire their offensive coordinator today.
Yes. So take that into consideration.
And next up is the Ravens, by the way.
Okay. And that's where I was going to go. They had a shootout with the Ravens, 5 weeks ago? It was a 41-38 yep. shootout. And then they have the Ravens, but look after that. Chargers, Steelers, those are beatable teams. Cowboys, Titans, Browns.
Oh,
that run right there is a very, like, that's a stretch that, because if you win one of the ones against, or one of the two out of the Chargers and Steelers, and then you win those three right there, you're sitting in a very nice position to, at the end of the year, against the Steelers to close out the season. So I think that this is, they could definitely go on a run. I just don't know if their defense is good enough to really, like, shut the door on any of those teams.
Mike, are you intrigued? Burrow yesterday, 5 touchdowns. Are you intrigued at all by the Bengals because Joe Burrow statistically has been playing well, or are you like, hey, they still got a losing record, so good luck with that?
Both, but I lean more towards the first than the latter because Joe Burrow is that good. I will give CBS Sports credit for this. They were like, we don't care that they're losing. We don't care that his numbers aren't awesome. They weren't bad, but they weren't awesome. We're going to keep him as a top 5 to 6 quarterback in the NFL no matter what, which is weird. They won't do that with Patrick Mahomes, but they will
that
do
is
that
interesting to me,
with Joe Burrow. So, yeah, I think that they have a chance. Now, I think the issue is Baltimore, I think, is going to win that division.
Okay.
So they're going to have to get in with the 5 losses already. They're going to have to get in as a wild card, and they're going to have to, if they're going to make a run in the playoffs, they're going to have to go through Kansas City, through Baltimore, through Buffalo. So that just makes it really tough when you look at, could they make the playoffs still? Yes, they could. I think the issue is the three teams I just named and the quarterbacks they have going on the road and beating those teams would be very difficult.
You know, and somebody brought up the Chargers are heating up. I think we'll talk about the Chargers, I mean, maybe now, but definitely more as the week goes along. The Chargers have played 8 games. I do not believe they've given up more than 20 points in any of those games, and they haven't given up more than 10 points in 4 of those games. So this defense has... A couple weeks ago, I asked, was it just a product of their schedule? And they're like, the hell it is. This defense has continued to be fantastic for the Chargers.
Which was, that was a calling card of Harbaugh's teams whenever he was in San Francisco. They were a stout defense, and that kind of culture's kind of stuck around since he left, but they were a stout defense, and they'd figure it out offensively.
Can I ask you a question, Corey, on this kind of surprise or whatever?
May.
Are you surprised that the Cardinals are above 500 and kind of Chicago's average? I know they should have won that game, this and that, but I'm wondering, I'm going to be honest, I can't recall watching a Cardinals snap this year besides highlights.
Okay.
Not like real play. I don't even think they've been on a, have they been on a nationally televised game?
I don't think so, honestly.
Are they good? They're 5-4. Maybe good's too strong of a word, but. The Cardinals are a threat to make the playoffs halfway through the season, and I didn't think that was going to be the case at all.
They beat the Dolphins, who were without a quarterback, you know, and
true.
And then they beat the Chargers, who we just discussed are good, but that was 17 points.
Yeah.
They beat the Niners, who were down, lost to the Packers. I would say the Packers are a good team, and the Cardinals are right below them.
Do you think back to that opening game against Buffalo at all? Where Arizona had that game. They had that game for most of the day, and then they coughed it away. And you look at Buffalo now, and Buffalo obviously looks like a damn fine team. And you wonder, man, if they could have won that game, and they would be at least 6-3 here.
Okay, I would rather look at the game against the Lions and the game against the Packers than the first game of the season, if that's okay, because the game against the Lions, 2013.
Yep.
They were good enough to hold the Lions to 20
points,
which not a lot of teams do, but not good enough to beat the Lions, who are the best team in the NFC right now.
And they got freaking run by the Packers and the Commanders.
Yeah, the game against the Commanders, that was the Jaden Daniels coming out party.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, by the way, guys, watch all these touchdowns I can throw. So, Mike, I think they're a good team, and they could probably win that division. They really probably could win that division, but I just don't think they're a takeoff team right now.
Okay.
But yeah,
I go back to the year they were like 10-1 in 2021, if I have the year right. And then they just
fell off a cliff.
Kyler's body is not the body you want in the NFL, even though he's like thicker than Bryce Young. It's a body that's fragile in the NFL. And I'm just like, can he stay healthy the second half of the season and push them to the surprising 10-win Cardinals make the playoffs? Like, to me, that's kind of
the
year.
But you're going to get. If you can get 6 sacks on Caleb Williams, the guy who's like, I can go.
Yeah.
He's like, he always thinks, I can make this play. And we talk about that with Dak, and just throw it away. And there are plenty of times where Caleb Williams, just throw it away. That affects the team a lot, I think, when it comes to the Bears. But that was the game that was a big surprise to me. I didn't expect the score to be that lopsided.
So I'm going to cut 18 in just a second. I thought this was going to be the big surprise of the day. The Buffalo Bills own the Miami Dolphins. They have beat them now 6 straight times. They have won 13 of the past 14 and outscored Miami by an ungodly amount of points in the last 7 years. Yet,
this one was close.
You watch that game go along, and it really looked like Miami was going to get it done. And then we go to the game-winning field goal for a kicker that had struggled during the day, and 61 yards out, he does this.
This is going to be a 61-yarder from the left hash with 10 seconds remaining. Snap by Ferguson, hold by Martin. Kick by Bass is long enough, and it is good! Bobs away for Tyler Bass, who bobs it from 61! It's a career best for the Bills kicker. Unbelievable!
He's about 83% on the season, by the way.
And Josh Allen in the post game had talked about some of the struggles that Bass had earlier in the season. And he's starting to get emotional. And he's like, everybody in that locker room loves him. And like, I was watching the post game with Tyler Bass, and he was getting emotional when they gave him the game ball and everything like that. I thought that was a clutch win the Buffalo pulled out when, I don't know, at halftime I thought, are they going to lose this freaking game to the Dolphins?
Yeah, and without Amari Cooper too, you know, yes. They just made the move to get him. During that game, the thing that stood out to me the most was at least two or three times I saw Tua take off running.
And does it still make you nervous?
And he didn't slide again. He dove head first to get a first down. And I'm like, what are you doing? Now, fortunately, I think Hamlin was one of the guys on the play, and he just backed off. He raised his hands.
Yeah.
And the other guy jumped over him. They were like, we don't want to hurt him. He's trying to hurt himself. It's reckless. That is reckless on his part for him to do stuff like that. But yes, the dominance by the Bills over the Dolphins is a real thing.
Now, if we're talking dominance, I know you guys brought this team up. And I know if you just look at the final score and you didn't like...
Oh, sorry, real quick. Somebody said shout out to Achan. 16 touchdowns in 19 games in his career.
That is freaking amazing.
I mean, we thought he was kind of a bit character, you know, a little gadget, but he's turned into a running back.
Yeah, and even if you still don't think he's great at that, well, he'll get in the end zone for you. If you watch the game, you saw the complete and utter domination of the Lions over the Packers. Now, I realize if you look at the final score and you didn't watch the game, you're like, oh, they only won by 10 points. Tune into that game in the third quarter. The Lions are straight up whipping the Packers' ass. And the Packers are a team that I feel like we all held in pretty high esteem in the NFC. Detroit goes on the road and just whips the crap out of them. I was really impressed by Detroit, who continues to... I'm not saying that the loss of Hutchinson doesn't hurt them, but man, do they continue to just march forward.
This hurts the Cowboys, and this is how. Detroit's a team led by a very good head coach. And I think Mike McCarthy's taking too much heat here, but I get it. He's going to get fired. We all know that.
It does feel like that.
Or we're not renewing or giving him an extension. Sure. That's how Jerry...
Moving on.
Yes.
Yeah, we're moving on. We didn't fire him. It's just like he was out of contract.
He was hired to get us over the hump, and he did not get us there in his contract.
When Micah Parsons got hurt, it's over. The Cowboys have nothing. They can't get a pass rush. They can't really play defense in the secondary. Like, it's over. I thought similar things were going to happen to Detroit. Unfortunately, I just watched too much Cowboys football the last 25 years.
Yeah.
Injuries destroy the Cowboys. Like a injury. Now, I know they have a lot this year, but a injury destroys the Cowboys every year. And everybody has an injury. I will give Dan Campbell and whoever the defensive coordinator is, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on it, and the rest of their defense and their quarterback, they are able to handle the biggest injury you could possibly have on the team besides quarterback. They're able to handle it, and I'm not saying get better, but they're able to stay at a certain level even though they lost their Micah Parsons.
And look at the way those games played out. You fell behind early against the Vikings, and then you take over the game. You win a close game. You beat the crap out of the Titans. You throttle the Packers, and... Look, I know they're still undefeated, and if it comes down to them in the playoffs, I would probably feel different. But right now, I think it looks like the Lions are the best team in football. Mm-hmm. Even though they do...
They believe it, too.
Yeah, even though they do have a loss. And, like, I'll concede, if they met in the Super Bowl, it's really hard to bet against the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. But right now, the Lions look like they're probably the best team in football.
What do the Chiefs have that the Lions don't?
The greatest quarterback that maybe we've ever seen. Although I do like Jared Goff.
Jared Goff's been to a Super Bowl.
That is true.
Little hands.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, you want to do some baseball?
Yeah, but I'm going to do it with a combination of football here. Ooh. Cowboys and Ranger fans here. I need you to chime in on Twitch, on YouTube, possibly a phone call if we need it. The next 3 years, the Rangers are in their offseason right now. The Cowboys are kind of in their offseason right now, too. Over the next 3 years, who's going to be a better team and why?
Waits at his 50. Oh, fake punt. Anger throws it. Interception dropped at the 40-yard line because the intended receiver,
C.J. Goodwin,
fell down.
Man, I shouldn't laugh, but I actually appreciate when Brad and Babe replicate the feelings of what I feel is like all the fans watching or listening to the Cowboys.
I'm telling you, I'll be honest, Kevin. I left after Cooper Rush's first series. I was like, I'm going to go pick my son up. He was at the mall.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to go pick him up. I'll just listen to it in the car on the way over. And Brad and Babe had that kind of vibe where Babe was trying to sell it. And Brad was like, nah, man, come on, be real.
The KNC Masterpiece. And now it's time for kind of a special hybrid edition of Baseball Nuggets.
Yeah, Baseball Nuggets brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, and Scenic Views. Now, I recommend this website every year around this time, and I will do it again. MLBTradeRumors.com. MLBTradeRumors.com. The offseason is hit. The MLB offseason is weird. It's super slow. The winter meetings are here at the Anatole in Dallas this year in early mid-December. I don't know the exact dates. It's printed somewhere. I just haven't looked for the exact dates. But that's where you would go to just real quick, as we will get back into Cowboys talk here in just a second. I'm going to include it here in Baseball Nuggets, so don't leave me because I'm doing baseball talk. Is the Royals signed Michael Wacha to a 3-year deal. This is where it's all going to be gathered. All your information is going to be gathered. If there's paywalls like the Dallas Morning News, you won't get the whole article, but you will get the gist of the article at MLBTradeRumors.com. Garrett Cole triggers opt-out deal with the Yankees.
And that deadline's today at 4 or 5,
yes,
I think.
Yes, and then Cody Bellinger opts back in with the Cubs, and you have people like a player that I wouldn't mind the Rangers giving a call to, Nick Martinez, former Texas Ranger. He declines his option, so he's a free agent. Blake Snell opted out of his deal with the Giants. He's a free agent. Sean Manaea, the sidearm lefty who reinvented himself with the Mets, he opted out of his deal. He's a free agent. The Yankees decline option on Anthony Rizzo. He's a free agent. 11 teams are talking to Juan Soto. Obviously, he's the biggest free agent. Unfortunately, Clayton Kershaw, if you just want to see some MLB trade rumors, he undergoes toe and knee surgeries. I feel bad for Clayton. Not in this way. He's one of the greatest pitchers of all time and a for sure Hall of Famer. I just don't see his path to health
and
again.
I don't think he feels bad right now because he's still on a buzz from that World Series whipping his shirt off celebration. He's having the most fun.
True. So anyways, those are where you're going to find your MLB offseason stories. I'm just going to be honest. That's where I will go for content. If I don't have specific Rangers content, if I want MLB content, that's where I'm going to go first, is MLBTradeRumors.com. Now, next thing, let's talk about the Rangers right now and the Cowboys right now. The Cowboys are 3-5. I guess they have a chance to make the playoffs, but let's be honest, it's probably down to 5% at best. It feels like
it's 0%. Actually, believe it or not, I just saw the number. Yeah. It's at 6%.
Okay, so I'm about right at that number. The Rangers had a disappointing year. Now, Chris Young, very different approach coming on 105.3 The Fan than the Jones boys, because he came on and talked about the embarrassment of defending the title and that this was not acceptable from himself, from the players, from everybody involved with the Rangers. This was an unacceptable 2024 season, and he's going to do everything in his power to change it. Now, there is a budget that the Rangers are working under. Evan Grant of Dallas Morning News has pretty much posted this. Look, they are not going to hit the threshold of luxury tax because they've done it now the last few years that it becomes like a 50% tax if they hit it again. And I understand this, like it or not, Ray Davis and the ownership has decided we're not going into that tax threshold. Yep. We just cannot dance there. And if we stay under it for a year, kind of like NBA-wise, it somewhat resets a little bit. So then if you go over it the next year, it's not nearly the tax of a 50% tax if you stay under it for a year. So you are going to be working with a budget that I think Ranger fans at times could get disappointed with. But it is Chris Young's job to work with that budget and try to put a team that can make the playoffs and will make the playoffs next year. So my question to you guys is this.
Go ahead. I got Rangers news for you. Texas Rangers have announced Ross Fenstermaker has been promoted to general manager.
Okay.
Now, I know we've talked about it plenty of times. You still know who's like in charge, in charge. But a step up for Fenstermaker.
And Cole Figueroa as their assistant GM.
I've got to know Ross a little bit this year. He is a great person, a very smart young guy. I'm not saying that he's going to make decisions or great decisions. I don't know. I watched 10 minutes of the comeback My wife saw that it was on. She's like, I've heard good things about this from people who don't even really like baseball. And I was like, I'll stop right now.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
It was great.
But it's funny how I think it's Howard Bryant immediately comes on. He's the writer, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, look, this isn't difficult. Like, the Red Sox weren't trying to win. They were just making money.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, what team does that sound like? And then they're like,
and then finally they changed their minds.
Oh, and then guess what? The team got sold. Mr. Henry's like, no, this is going to be about winning, and I'm going to go get the best general manager possible. I'm going to try to get the best coaching staff possible, like Terry Francona. Like, I'm going to try to do everything within my power to make this great. Yes, money is a big issue that I'm going to spend money, but I'm going to set up an organization by having a great general manager, even though he's inexperienced, in Theo Epstein, who is 28 years old, and I'm going to have a great manager in Terry Francona that eventually came along. But like, it's just interesting when you look at the Cowboys. So now I ask you guys this question. The next 3 years, 25 through 27, I'm already eliminating this year for the Cowboys. We know it's probably going to end up in a below 500 team and not make the playoffs. Who do you think has a brighter future? Who do you think will be better 25 through 27, the Rangers or the Cowboys, and why?
I'm going to say the Rangers. There's a couple of reasons why. I think they take talent acquisition 24/7 significantly more seriously. And then also, look, we've talked about the salary cap issues staring the Cowboys in the face for the next several years, and they aren't going anywhere. And it's been established. I think it's been pretty well established that the guy that you sunk all the money into in Dak Prescott is fine. He's maybe he's better than fine, but he's not great.
You got, what, 4 or 5 voidable years on that contract, Kevin? You just push all the money until then, man. You'll be fine.
And then he's going to retire, and you're going to be stuck with that bill, which is what you're staring at with Zach Martin potentially right now.
Everything's going to be okay.
I mean, you could do that.
I'll go with the Cowboys.
All right,
for the simple reason of, we just saw what can happen whenever you change your coach. You can go to the World Series and win it all. Just get a new manager in there, somebody that's really good. I think the Cowboys will always be just good enough to keep you kind of in that, we're that close. That's what their plan is. That's what they want to be, is to be just good enough to keep hanging around the rim. I think the Rangers have the potential to be high and low.
So you're saying they need to hire Belichick.
Somebody, yes.
Because if you're saying Bochy is the reason, then you have to get a dude who's won Super Bowls and done it, where the players look at him and go,
I can't
bully him. I can't go to Daddy Jerry and say, Daddy Jerry.
And it has to be that
Billy's
way.
Billy's making me watch too much film, and he's working me too hard. Daddy Jerry, can I do this? Like, that's how it's been ever since Jimmy Johnson's left. For the most part, he hired Bill Parcells for a stadium and hated every second of it. He can lie to you about how he didn't.
And I'm not sure that Bochy, I don't know how much longer you have Bochy either.
Yeah, there's I'll say 1 to 3 years left of Boch. I don't know. I hope that he's here for a while. But the reason I will lean towards the Rangers, and it's tough. This is, it's very tough to say the Rangers are going to win the World Series again. Like, they won one in 50 something years. Yep. It happened. And it was a major upset in baseball that it happened. But I look at the Rangers, and I'm going to ask you guys this question back about the Cowboys, because you're going to know the team better than I do on who you love, like the dude who got hurt yesterday, Juan Thomas or whatever his name is.
Juan Thomas. Whoops.
You have Evan Carter, who has done some spectacular things in the playoffs, and I get how it was a disappointing year in 24 and injury. You have Wyatt Langford, who won Player of the Month in September, not just Rookie of the Month, but Player of the Month the last month there was regular season baseball. You have Kamar Rocker, who showed promise late in the year. I get that Jack Leiter hasn't shown a lot of promise, but he is a young and intriguing player. You have next year a third-year player in Josh Young, who I don't know like what we have to do to keep him healthy. He seems like an unhealthy guy. But in his rookie year, he made the All-Star team and looked like he could win Rookie of the Year until injury. But that is a pretty common thing with Josh Young that we hope becomes uncommon.
And Evan Carter going back. Yeah.
So you kind of look at Carter, Langford, Young. And then I look at Rocker a little in Jack Leiter. I can't look a lot into Jack Leiter, but I still think there's potential there. But now, those are five really young guys.
Don't forget about Cole Drake, the lefty in the minor league system right now.
That could happen, right? So name me the young guys that trump my young guys with the Rangers.
Oh, like, with the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not on the team yet.
I was going to say straight away, Micah and CeeDee are significantly better than any of those players.
Yeah.
Right, but they're year 4 and 5. Is that right?
Yeah. They're year 4, and Josh Young is going into 3. So you think they need to be younger than year 4?
No. I guess they're established.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Like, I don't want to say there's not, you're right. They're better than who I named.
Yeah.
They're there. Their potential is reached. Like, you know what I'm saying? Now it's just how long can they stay at their peak level?
Yeah, Ashton Jeanty's on
Tyler
the list.
Tyler Smith's a good one. I do think. Overshone could be your.
Overshone's another one.
You're like, but, Kamar Rocker, I guess.
Sam Williams.
Yeah. Sam Williams is going to fall in, unfortunately, into that injury category. Meanwhile, it sounds like Corey is going to give us next year's
draft. I'm starting to look ahead, Mike, because I'm trying to figure out.
Right. And for the Rangers, like, Sebastian Walcott, people have asked me this at the card show. I was like, he's not helping the Rangers in 25. Like, maybe in 26. So
he,
like,
might get a few more sniffs during spring training.
You'll get to see him in spring training, but he's going to be in Double A all of next year, and then probably in 26, if everything is going great with his development. And there's probably a few other guys that, you know, we don't know. Like, there's people that we're not sure of with the Cowboys. Like, can they help? Can't they help?
Well, somebody said Cooper Beebe. I definitely don't think that's a notch for sure. I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Deron Bland this season has clearly been a setback.
Tyler Guyton, people are down on him because he's not good this year. Right. His pre-snap stuff, his holdings. But I did feel like I said before the season, he's going to be good, but he's going to be a rookie this year.
Yeah.
So I will leave it at that.
And I think tomorrow I'm going to get a little bit more into Sasaki, the Japanese pitcher who might come over to the United States. I watched some stuff on him this weekend, trying to get an idea with him. And obviously I think that would, if it's close, if you're thinking Cowboys or Rangers the next 3 years, if they get Sasaki, I will just tell you, it's over, Cowboy fans. Like, you might as well look at the next 3 years, as the Rangers have a much better advantage of doing something than the Cowboys would.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Plus, here comes mighty SMU. Next on The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.